Father God, thank you, Lord, for all the things, Lord, that you are doing in our midst, in our lives. Father, some of them we don't even see, but Lord, we know that you are God, who are greatly at work, Lord, because you love us. And I just pray this morning as we open up your word that you would just direct our hearts, our thoughts. Father, work in us, Lord, as only your spirit can. Lord, we know only you can change the heart. And only you can change the circumstances of our lives. And we ask, Lord, that you would just work, Lord, in us right now. Father, give us clarity, Lord, as we speak your word. I pray, Father God, that your spirit would just work in each one of us, Lord. If we think about this issue of parenting and teaching our children, Lord, things that are eternal and true and will really direct their lives. I pray, Lord, that you would just meet with us right now. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we praise God for his word. I just want to share two things with you guys. Guys, check out the pantry. Lots of great stuff again. And we just praise God for that ministry. And I encourage you guys, use that not only to bless yourselves, but bless others. And God's doing a great work there. I want to take a quick minute and just remind you guys about the marriage conference. Appreciate Jonathan saying that. The money was due yesterday. I turned mine in today, too. So I'm late as well. But I just want to encourage you guys. We are looking forward to a great time at the marriage conference. And it's not a time that anyone's going to be on the spot, but it's a time of refreshment. And as we look forward to what God is going to continue to do in our marriages and just building that team of people that are going to be able to really grow together strong and be a blessing to others. So just see me or Pastor Ansu afterwards. If you said you've been thinking about this all along and you kind of said, you know, I should go. And the answer is if God put that on your heart, you should go. And I encourage you, just see us today. We'll get that all nailed down. But we have a deadline from Harvey Cedars Bible Conference where it's located, so we need to take care of all those things. So I want to move quickly into our message this morning. It is great to see all of you. So we want to move right to the next slide there. Chris, if you would set us up. And we're going to go right beyond that. We continue our series, Building Kingdom Homes, about marriage, parenting, and growing together in Christ. And today I want to focus us on this idea, which is probably one of the hardest things on earth, and that's building relationships. We talked about some things last week that we need to communicate to our kids, and we're going to talk about some more of those this morning. Relationships are a mess, and they are messy, but they are worth having, especially with our kids, and they are the things that life is all about. So we're going to listen to God's word and find out more about that. I'm going to go right past that, and I just want to take us to the bottom of this slide, and here's the key thing. Building redemptive, ongoing relationships of trust with our kids. By the way, you might say, I'm a grandma, I'm a great-grandma, I'm an aunt, I'm an uncle, whatever you are. That is such a key thing, and it will provide a lifetime platform for the growth of these kids. And everybody look up for a second. You know, today in the world we live in, we have generations that follow us that are adrift trying to find out what to do, how to live, what's important, what's true. And by the grace of God, we need to go back to the Word of God and teach them those eternal truths with our words and with our lives that will really impact them for the future and for eternity. So I just want to remind us of that. We're going to go right to the next slide as we think about that. And I want to take us, Chris, if you would advance me, if you would there, just put it right up there. There we go. I want to just remind us of things, a couple things about parenting. You might say, well, I'm not a parent, but a lot of us play that role in the lives of our own kids and the lives of others' kids as well. But the definition of parenting at its core, right? We said parenting is this, right? It's having a plan. And parenting is, and get this in your minds, right? It's intentional, it's thoughtful, it's evaluative. And here's the idea of what I mean about that. We look at things, and if they're not working, we evaluate and we try something different, right? And that kind of moves us. It's something that's dynamic. And I'll throw this out. It is a responsibility that we have as parents and grandparents, and we can't outsource it to someone else, give it away, or try to run away from it, because God's the one who holds us accountable for that. And by the way, I know it's tough
Trust me, we're a parent three times over, and it never stops. You know, there's always something we got to keep on doing, and our kids are grown up now. They're beyond the age of 18. So there's always something going on, and God's put us there with purpose, right? We need to provide by meeting the basic needs of our kids. We need to protect them. We need to prepare them, and that's kind of what this series is all about. And we said this before. You know, at church, we're not just here when the fire's burning. We're here to get us ready for when it does burn. So then we know what to do and what God would instruct us on those things. So I just encourage you guys that we need to keep training up our kids, and when they're old, they will not depart from that, is what the Word of God says. And I want to remind us, I said this last week, I'm going to say it again, right? Parenting, anybody can I get an amen? Is parenting a tough job? It's tough. We kind of quoted a phrase from the Family Life last week, which said this. It said, "The days are long." Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Days are long, right? But the years are short. They go so fast. I'm looking at, I see Chris over there. How can Shelby be a senior? What's going on, right? What's happening here, right? You know, I can think of so many others, right? The car base. How can the boys be seniors? What's going on here, right? The days are long, but the years go fast. They're short. So we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we got to bear that in mind. And by the way, everybody look up. Some of you guys are going like, man, things are a mess in our family. If you're honest, if we're all honest, they're a mess in all of our families, right? There's stuff going on. There's stuff we don't want to talk about. There's stuff we do. And it's a messy thing. But praise God for the blessing of giving us those kids to rear up for him, right? So just a quick reminder, we spent this time last week about what we need to teach our kids, right? And I want you guys, write these down. This is a review, and we're going to spend time on one point real quick. But get this in your mind, right? Our kids need to know they are loved by God. Don't let them escape the fact that God loves them. You know how you get into the teenage year, especially junior high, you know, everyone thinks they're not good enough, they're not pretty enough or handsome enough or athletic enough or this enough. But let them know God loves them and he created them just as they are. Let them know that. And we need to let them know, too, that they are loved by us. We're not just waiting to get them out when they turn 18 so we can launch them and get them out of here. We love them. And they need to hear that. And I'll share with you guys, they need to hear these words of affirmation. And I just want to highlight that. We spent time and really thought about that this past week, last Sunday. And Chris, advance that slide, if you would, for me. Our kids need to understand, and there's a bunch of scripture it says, but I'll just share the last one. We need to exhort or encourage one another daily while it's called the day, lest any of us be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We don't want our kids hardened. We don't want our kids depressed, down. We want them to know that God loves them and we love them, and there is hope in this world when we follow God's way. Right? Amen? We want them to know that, right? We want them to get a hold of that, and we want to advance to our next thing, and here it is. We want our kids to understand, and we talked about this last week, that they are accepted and loved just like they are without any condition. You love them if they get an A, and you love them if they get an F. And you love them if they make the team and score the winning touchdown, and you love them if they drop the winning touchdown they could have caught. You love them, right? You love them anyway, right? They are precious to you and God. They matter to you and others. They have strengths and gifts and are a blessing. They have strong character that continues to be developed. They are respected, and that they make us proud. Like, our kids need to understand that, and I'll throw this out. They need to understand that that's going to build up, and we need to get that's going to build up their confidence and open up their hearts to God's love, and it's a process that they're going to get to know him, and he's going to motivate them for continued change. And that's kind of what we talked about last week, right? I'm going to throw out to you guys. Everybody look up. How many folks shared words of affirmation with some kids this week? You don't have to raise your hand. You can if you want to, but... like, that's what got to be about. When they come to church, by the way, give them a high five and say, "I'm glad you're here." Let them know, hey, we love you. We care about you. We're glad that you're here. Remember, we talked about this last. We don't care what they're wearing. We don't care what their hair looks like. We're not worried about all that stuff. We're just glad they're in the house of God. Because they could be anywhere else, right, on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. We're glad they're here. And you need to let them know, we're glad that you're in our family. And I mean your family and the First Baptist family. We're glad, right? Your kids are our future. And I just share that verse there. I appreciate that verse so much. On Proverbs 14:1, it says, a wise woman doesn't tear down her house. What do? They build it up, right? We got to build up our kids in that way. So we're going to skip over to where we're going to go this morning. And Chris, take us right there if you would. And I want you guys to understand. So we need to train our kids, let them know that they are loved. And we're going to tell them they're loved. We're going to affirm them. We're going to guide them. We're going to direct them. But that's the beginning of the journey, right? Because God wants them to know that they need to be lovers too. And we need to communicate to our kids, we need to train them to love. And get this in your mind, right? We need to train them to love God. We're going to talk about why and how. We need to train them to love God. We need to train them to love others who are just as imperfect as they are. Now, I'll throw this out, all of us. Everybody look up for a second. Isn't it so easy? We shared this last week. I can look out at you guys and I could go, man, I see what's going wrong there. But when I look at myself, it seems like everything's okay. Right? But that's the problem, right? We are hopelessly nearsighted about those things, right? And we need to train our kids to love others who are imperfect. By the way, that means all of us, right? We're all imperfect, right? We need to train them to hear godly confrontation and criticism. We'll talk about that in a second, but we need to train them to be open to change, open to learning, open to the fact that they can be wrong and they can be better, that they can really bring more glory to God, right? We need to train them to seek and grant forgiveness and restore. Everybody look up. Can you guys think of their relationships? We're talking about our marriage conference coming up. We probably have hundreds of years of marriage in the folks that are going to attend that conference. Do we believe that there's never been a conflict? We got to teach our kids, right, that life is all about what? Conflict. But it's all about resolution of the conflict. And our kids need to be skilled, and they need to see us do that, that we resolve conflicts. And we forgive and we restore, that we don't just hold a grudge forever and ever. And then we need to train them for each specific phase of life. There's some real specifics, and we're going to kind of get into that. So y'all got those down? We'll see that again, and it's in your bulletin as well. But I want to share with you guys as we jump into that this morning. Here's the jumping off point, right? We need to train them to love God. And I want to ask you guys a question. How do we do that? Why should you love God? You know, our world says, how can God be good when I see so much bad things going on out there? And your kids and my kids are asking that question. How can God be good? And we need to help them and we need to teach them with our walk and our worship that God is good. And here's what he does. And even today, as we shared, praise God for Mata and her graduation. God gives grace when we can't do things on our own. With God, nothing is impossible, as Mary, Jesus' mother, said, right? Nothing is too hard for God. And I want to share with you guys some scripture to stop and think about. And here's one of them. You know, Jesus was kind of asked this question by the Pharisees and the scribes, and they were trying to trip Jesus up. And they said, one of them, a lawyer, came to Jesus, and he asked him a question. It says, testing him. He said, teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? Or what's the greatest thing that we can do to keep the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. So everybody look up. So we know that's our job, right? Get our kids to love God by the best of our ability. And by the way, I'll throw this out. We can't force that to happen, but we can surely set the environment, give them the facts, and have them witness a life of someone who loves God. For real. And I'll throw this out. This loving of God is something that's reasonable. It's thought out. Like, we love God for some reasons, right? And Scripture tells us, and here's one of them. And we'll celebrate this this afternoon as we think about the Lord's table. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." Everybody look up. Think about that for a second. I want you guys, think about some of the bad things you've done. I'm going to think about some of the bad things I've done. Some of the bad thoughts I have. Some of the bad motivations and intentions I have. And you know what? God loves me anyway. And that's what makes me love God, because He takes me just like I am. You know that song, that old song, "Just As I Am"? Just as I am, and isn't that pretty? The words of that music are beautiful, but the fact of who we are, isn't that nice? And God loves us, right? And our kids need to understand that God loves them just the way they are, and that's why we love God back. And we'll look at a scripture that says that in a minute. And by the way, look at James says. And here's something I want you guys, that we have to communicate to our kids. And I'll throw this out. We need to teach our kids, aside from this, a work ethic. Like, our kids need to work. And I'm going to throw this out. Our kids need to learn how to fish, just not take fish. Right? Our kids need to understand that there's some responsibility that they have. Right? Amen?
Amen.
Right? But at the same time, they need to understand James chapter 1. And look what it says. It says, "Do not be deceived. Everything you got isn't because you worked hard. Everything you got isn't because you're so smart. Everything you got isn't because you are creative and clever. But everything you have," look what it says, "every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning." Our kids need to understand that every precious gift that we have is from God. The food on the table, the health that we have, the family that we're blessed with, the opportunities that God gives us that go beyond what we earned, the grace that God gives us, right? Our kids need to understand that everything comes from God. And by the way, that's why we love God so much. We don't deserve any of it, but God gives it to us. He's the greatest giver of all the gifts that we have. And we're going to switch on down, and we need to train them to love God. And, you know, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says this: we love Him, why? Because He first loved us. And by the way, that verse can be translated even a different way. We only have the ability to love anyone because God loved us first, right? And I want you guys, by the way, this would be a great passage to kind of learn. And we've talked about this even before in church before, but Psalm 124 is powerful. Look what it says. It says, "If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side." Contemplate that for a second. This is why I love God, because He has broken through the barriers. He's broken off the chains. He's done things that there is no way on God's earth that I could have did without Him, right? And our kids need to understand this. And by the way, this is written by King David. It's one of his psalms. And he said, "If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side." And he says, "Let Israel now say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul, then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord." And again, that's sort of the what we want to teach them is to love God, but the how is they need to understand that we understand that the only way that we get anything in this earth is it is from the hand of the living God who does not change. Right? And that's sort of the how part of that. So we need to train them to love God, right? Amen for that. Here's another one. We need to train them to love others who are imperfect just like they are. Everybody look up. You know what a good starting point for that is? They ought to see us love others who are just as imperfect as we are. You know, they say it's about Christianity, about discipleship. And I remember, by the way, I see Jeff and Cynthia back there. Jeff, you said this to me a long, long time ago. We were talking about some books that Jeff had read before. And he said this: a lot of things about Christianity, they're more caught than taught. In other words, your kids are going to see how to do this when they follow you. They're going to see how to work a drill or drill a hole when you have them do it with you. You know, you can give them the instructions, you can give them the tool, but boy, when you do it with them, they kind of get it. And when they see you love other people that aren't like them, that aren't as well off, aren't as nice, have more baggage, when they see us do that, it just changes the whole game, makes it real, right? And we're commanded to do that. Matthew 22 continues, right? As Jesus straightened things out, and he said, and the second command, first one was what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then do what? He said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Everybody look up. Who's your neighbor? You know the answer, right? It's everybody. But don't we like to kind of skinny that down a little bit sometimes? Well, not that neighbor that's really mean to me. I don't really like him that much. You know, the one that his dog, you know, walks on my lawn. I don't like him that much. We always want to kind of cull that down. But the Lord's saying, hey, you know what? Everybody's your neighbor. Doesn't matter. And by the way, the story of the Good Samaritan is the parable that follows this. That's the idea where Jesus said, it doesn't matter what they think, what they do, how they act towards you, they're your neighbor. You better love them. And John says this, right? Here's the command. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. And again, we've said this before, but think about this for a second. What distinguishes Christians from everybody else? It's not that we wear suits on Sunday. You know, it's not that we gather on Sunday. It's not that we try to act right. It's that we love people like God. And Jesus said it, by the way, Jesus raised the bar. He didn't just say, I want you to love these people, you know, like you love your family. He said, I want you to love people like I love you. Remember we just started, how we started this thing out, how God loves us just like we are? Sometimes that's pretty ugly, right? But God loves us anyway. And he wants our kids to understand that that's a distinguishing fact. So don't just teach your kids to be righteous. Teach them to be loving. And by the way, don't just teach them to be right. Teach them to be loving. And that's going to make relationships that last possible. And I'll throw this out. Husbands and wives. How many folks here? You're a husband or a wife? Right? Get your hand up, right? Some of you guys are saying, I don't know if I want to admit that right now. You know, right? But you're a husband or wife, right? How many times, right, we love that other person even when, you know, or, you know, even when they're wrong? Or how many times we don't want to say we're wrong? You know, it's not about just being right. Think about this in our relationships as men and women. Sometimes, you know, we're, and I don't know, anybody that's type A like me? I love to be right. Don't you love to, by the way, who doesn't love to be right, right? Right, for real, let's be real, right? I know I'm a mess, but we all are, right? But sometimes don't we fight and ruin relationships so that we can say we're right? And the point here is that we need to teach our kids that that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to love them like Jesus did. And I'll throw this out, even with your kids, we're not going to teach them everything and get them to the spot we want them to be overnight, in one day, in one week, and not even sometimes in 18 years. It's a process, right? So we want to keep the door of the relationship open and the Spirit of God active to change even their erroneous thinking. And that works in marriage, and that works as we raise our kids, right? Most important thing. And I'll throw this out. A lot of people say, hey, you know, I want to imitate God. Look what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. So you say, we want to imitate God. Okay, that's a great thing. Look what he says. Walk in what? Love. As, right, Christ also loved us and gave himself for us. So God's saying, okay, you want to imitate God? Get down on the floor and love these people. Love them. And I'll tell you this, right? Let's be real. Let's be real honest this morning, right? Let's all look up. Think about that. Isn't that hard to do? Aren't there some people that just get your goat and all the other farm animals too? Right? Right? Isn't it you? They do. They, right? People sometimes, you just look at them, you're just like, you know, you just want to, you want to attack them, right? But God says, you want to imitate me, you got to love like Jesus did. And I'll throw this out. I want to ask this question. What do your kids think it is to be an imitator of God? Do they think it's just going to church a lot? You know, going out. You know, we go to Awana, we go to youth group, we online for prayer. You know, we used to go to Sunday school. I hope they bring that back. But is that the distinguishing thing? No, the distinguishing thing is that they love people like Jesus. That's a hard thing to teach. By the way, it's a hard thing to do, isn't it, for us, right? We struggle with that. So we got to train them to love others who are imperfect just like themselves. So we can slide down to the next slide. Go ahead, Chris. Lead me down there, please, brother. And here's an important thing. Everybody look up to this. We need to teach our kids this truth. Because I hear this a lot in Christendom, right? Man, I love God, but I really don't like those other people. And it might be political. It might be, you know, ethnic. It might be gender. It might be whatever, right? But people say this all the time. Well, I love God. But look what the Lord said. And our kids need to get a hold of this, right? And by the way, I'll throw this out. Everybody look up. In the age that we live in, this is what has turned away so many of our students, is that we say we love God and we treat everyone else like garbage. And I don't care if they maybe they're in sin, but Jesus loved the sinner. Right? And remember Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you, but to do what? To die for you and give you life. By the way, it's easy to condemn the things that are in the world that are wrong. It's easy for us to do that. It's not hard at all, but it's really hard for us to go out and be a force of love and change in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ. And our kids need to understand. They need to get a hold of that. And Jesus said this, and John wrote it down. He says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's what? He's a liar. And I want to share with us, a lot of our students are looking at us and they're saying one thing and they're doing something else. And we got to change in that area, right? For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And by the way, that's hard. Remember, and I'll throw this out to us. Remember we talked about how we're going to parent our kids in the strength of Christ? We're going to love people that way in the power of his Holy Spirit because it's a fruit of the walk of the Spirit. And the word of God just working in us and changing what need to be changed, right? It's there. So such an important thing. Our kids need to get a hold of that they need to love God. They need to really love others. And we're going to slide down to the next thing. Really important. Chris, advance me if you would there, my brother. All right. And I'm just going to, here's the important thing, and I'm not going to skip this. Our kids need to learn that they need to hear and respond really to godly criticism and confrontation. And what do I mean by that? Something's going wrong. And someone, mom, dad, grandmom, grandpop, uncle, aunt, brother, sister, somebody at church says, hey, that doesn't seem right. What's going on? And a lot of times our kids, right, they're just like, man, get out of my face. Right? Been there, right? I don't want to hear that. Even we as adults, we like to be what? Right. We want anyone to criticize us. Critique us, confront us. And this is what we need to teach our kids. That's so important, right? And look at, as I read Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon wrote these words. He just says, he said, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and only in the sight of my mother, he also taught me. And he said to me, let your heart retain my words and keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget. Look what he says here. Look at this next phrase. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth. And I want to challenge us as parents, right? We have to have this kind of relationship with our kids, which again is hard, where they're going to listen. Because we listen. We're not just going to come at them. You hear kids say that, you're coming at me. And I'll throw this out. As a father, I know I came at them. Right? They were right. But we need to be able to listen to what's going on in their lives, and we need to be able to talk about the issues that are right and the issues that are wrong. And we need to cultivate in them an openness that's based on their love for us, and they understand our love for them and God's love for them, that we want the very, very best for our kids. By the way, don't we say that as adults? I only spanked you because I want the best for you. Don't we? You hear people say that, right? And I think as parents, we want that to be true. Sometimes we're just really angry, and it's not our best, and we don't get the best back either. But we want this relationship with our kids where they can hear us, where they listen, and they can hear you. By the way, what a powerful thing that we have a team at church that says most of the same things. Love God, love each other, be open. We care about you. We want you to change, and we're looking for you to really be the kids that are going to make us proud and bring God glory. But we got to cultivate that in our kids, this idea of being willing to listen. And Chris, take us to the next slide. Proverbs, Solomon wrote this down too. Pop back. Go down one more. Back up two slides, Chris, if you would. One more. That's it right there. We need to help our kids help understand that it's so important to be a listener. And I'll throw this out. I love this verse in Proverbs. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. What does that say? What's Solomon trying to communicate to us, right? Here's what he's trying to communicate. You know, if our kids just listen to everyone that agrees with them, it's like the kisses of an enemy. And when the going gets tough, those friends are going to go. They're not going to stay. When the trouble happens and, you know, the authorities are involved or the teachers are involved and school's involved, the very kids that were telling them, you know, how great they are in doing the bad things that they were doing, they're going to be gone. But look what it says. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. In other words, we need to be the kind of parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and relationships of various kinds, that we can say the hard things to our kids and they listen because we really care, because we really see truth. You know, like a lot of times their friends are just trying to win them over to get what they want. We have to step back and be the parent and say the things that sometimes are really challenging. But I'll throw this out. We talked about this last week. We need to speak the truth in love with words that are seasoned with salt that give grace to the hearer. So it's not how loud I say it or how angry I say it. It's saying in a way that our kids can hear. And there's a phenomenon that's kind of interesting. In the Hebrew language, you'll see a lot of things about teaching in the Old Testament. But the same Hebrew word that's used many times for teaching is the same word that's used for learning. And really, we're not teaching unless they're learning. Does that make sense? So, like, you know, we can scream and holler and we can put all kinds of things in place, but we teach so they learn. You know, I teach so we all learn. Pastor Ansu teaches so we learn. You know, it's not just throwing out words and stuff and concepts, but we want people to learn and to change to be who God really wants them to be. So critical, right? And notice the next one, the psalm there. It just says, let the righteous strike me, it shall be a kindness. And let him rebuke me, it shall be as excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it. And I want to throw this out. You know what, folks? That's not going to happen if our kids see us as the hard-headed, unchangeable rocks that we are sometimes. Isn't that true? And by the way, I put myself in that category. You know, again, we like to be right and, you know, we know everything. No, we really don't. And our kids need to see that we're open to confrontation and rebuke too, that we have people in the body of Christ who can speak words into our lives that we'll listen to. So important. We need to train them to grant forgiveness. There's none of us right now that have a relationship if we haven't given someone forgiveness or sought forgiveness from them. And I say a real relationship, because a real relationship is about that giving and taking of forgiveness. And I'll just skip right on down to verse 32. And this context of this passage is really good. It's the fact that Paul's teaching, there's some things that we put off that were the old unsaved man or woman, and there's some things that we put on that's the new man, the new creature in Christ. And he says one of them is, be kind, be tenderhearted, forgive one another just like Jesus forgave you. Again, we can kind of teach that. We can even share how God forgave us for something, and that's why we forgive others. And again, a lot of this is caught more than taught. So our kids need to kind of get a hold of that in a big way. Couple things to think about and as we kind of wrap this up. We need to train them specifically for each phase of the family using some teachable moments. When we have kids that are in the early years, that's one thing. Kids in the middle years is another. Later years is something else. And we'll just kind of, I'll give you more of this in writing as we go forward, but stop thinking about this for a second. Think about kids that are birthed to kindergarten, right? Some of the basic things that those kids need to learn, right, is don't be jealous of your brother or your sister, right? That you're significant. They need to learn how to wait. They need to respect each other. Those are some basic things at these young ages, right? Middle school is, here's the challenge for us as parents. When do we get involved and when do we let them begin to solve problems on their own? When do we let them fail a little, hopefully not catastrophically, so that they learn, right? Solving problems is all about those years. Anticipating conflict. How many folks have a teenager? Grandchild, son, daughter? Anybody have no conflict in your home? There we go. Anticipate it, right? It's going to happen, right? Because after a while, by the way, it's natural. These kids are learning to be adults, and they have their own ideas and their own thinking and their own direction and their own goals and all those things. And guess what? They're going to be different from yours. It's reality, right? So we got to anticipate that. Think about being sensitive to hormones, personalities, learning to work together and forgive each other, right? And then the later years, and that's kind of where we're at now, it's kind of knowing what's happening in each other's lives still is important, isn't it? And we want our kids, and I praise God, our kids, they talk to each other sometimes more than they talk to us. Praise God. I will never forget, this is kind of a cool thing. My son Daniel was struggling at school in his ability to focus and whatnot. You know, I don't know if he's never diagnosed with ADHD or ADD, but it was so cool that, and by the way, you know, Sarah's married to Brendan, who's also involved in medical stuff. Brendan has some similar struggles. So Sarah was able to talk to Dan. Her and Brendan were able to talk to Dan and give him some things that changed his life and helped him to be better. You know, isn't that kind of cool? I was like, wow, that's cool. You know, and he could relate to them better than mom and dad about that stuff, which is kind of cool. So I praise God for that, right? And that's such an important thing. It's what's happening, genuine love for your siblings expressed in service and communication. And our kids need to kind of learn that as we go forward. Like life changes, takes us in different geographical places, but we can still keep in touch, especially now we have so much technology and phones, and you know, we could talk to each other wherever we are, right? So the future. I'm going to go to the last point. Chris, take me there real fast if you would, brother. Train them to love. We kind of highlighted all these things, right? Train them to love God. Train them to love each other. Train them to hear godly confrontation. Train them to seek and grant forgiveness. And we need to be thinking about what phase are these kids at. Go to the very last slide, Christopher, if you would. Or actually, the next slide, I should say. Here's the next thing. So parents, right? That's the tall order, isn't it? What are we going to do? And here's the thought. We got to train them by our example. By the way, that's a little scary, isn't it? That's a lot of responsibility in many ways, right? But I'll throw this out. Let's train our kids by our worship. Who do we praise? What are we passionate about? And what are our priorities? And let me kind of simplify that for a second. Hopefully, your kids at home hear you praising God for the good things that happen in life. It should be natural, right? It's not weird. You know, like, and again, like, we don't want to be plastic Christians where we're, you know, I know my arm just got cut off, but praise God. You know, we're not saying silly things, but we're saying, look what God did in this situation when there was no other way, and we talk about those things. So our praise is so important, you know, and our passion. Like, Christianity shouldn't be this, like, if I get around to it kind of thing, right? And our relationship with God shouldn't be that way. And our priorities, what matters most? And I want to encourage us this too. Let's train our kids by the example of our prayer. Do our kids see you praying? They should. I'll never forget growing up, my parents would send me sometimes for like a couple days to my grandparents' house to pray. I've shared a story like this before. And my grandparents, you know, they were retired, and we were going to go do like trips. We're going to go to Philadelphia. We're going to do this. But you know what? As a kid, we couldn't do nothing until they read their Bible and prayed. You know, as a kid, we're like, come on, come on. You know, we want to go do stuff, right? We want to go do fun things. But, like, I can never forget, like, they would sit. They had these two chairs in their living room. They had these big wooden arms, and they would both sit there. They wouldn't talk to each other. They would read the Word of God, and they would pray. And I'd be saying, come on, hurry up. You know, but I'll never forget that, right? But that's, like, our kids need to see that. And our kids need to see repentance. In other words, they need to see mom and dad acknowledge when they're wrong, acknowledge when they fall short of God's standard, and pray and change. And you see that to be a reality, right? And I think our kids, we can train them by our example of our service, our kindness, our sacrifice, our love. Where we just focus on ourselves in life, or are we focused on living like Jesus in our life? And finally, I think an example that would train our kids a lot is our speech, giving grace. Season with salt. Now, there's that distinguishing. I don't mean salty speech, but I mean season with salt, that it is holy and just and righteous and encouraging and uplifting, right? Those are the things. So today, those are some things we could take with us this morning. And we gotta grab this personally and move from that place. Amen? We are going to pray, and then we are going to go to the Lord's table. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much, Lord, for your words. Lord, they're powerful, they're pointed, they leave, Lord, nothing, in a sense, Lord, to be questioned, other than maybe how. I ask you, dear God, that you would help us as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and others, Lord, who relate to children in ministry and in our families. Father God, that you would teach us and you would train us, Lord, these things. Father, work in our hearts, Lord God, as only you can, I pray. And Lord, as we come to your table, Lord, now I pray that you would just really speak to our hearts this morning and help us, dear God, to understand, Lord, just what an amazing gift we have in Jesus Christ and his shed blood and the eternal life that it purchased for us. And Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' name.